And those feathers on great big dinos make them look like champion wrestlers wearing tutus. But the feathers were first of all converted scales for keeping warm. Flight came later. But using feathers or wings for flight is trickier than you can imagine. Biologist turned physicist Jeffrey Spedding is trying to find out using very strange shapes.
This black object is the simplest possible wing that works well at a scale of birds and bats. So this object is about 15 centimetres long and about 3 centimetres wide. And if you put it in the wind tunnel, there are two interesting things. One is that the flow properties and the aerodynamic forces that it generates are very hard to predict and complicated to describe. And the second thing is that it works much better than any other airfoil that we would normally design.
That's rather surprising because it's so simple, really.
It is surprising, and sometimes these abstract things work pretty well. So what if a wing were, in fact, a rectangular curved flat plate?
I could imagine a plane having something like that.
Planes wouldn't work terribly well if they had this, because if you make this as big as the size of a plane, it gets very floppy. So airplane wings have to be thick. As a matter of fact, the chief aerodynamicist at Boeing has said to me that airplane wings are, in fact, flying fuel tanks, and they're aerodynamic properties are somewhat secondary to the fact they have to carry stuff around. So in many cases, the things that we think of having aerodynamic function, for example, they serve multiple purposes. This is, of course, true of the animal world.
If they kept the fuel somewhere else, maybe in the other part of the body of the plane, could they have different shaped wings?
Yes. So the wing design is a compromise. Since fuel is liquid, you can put it in almost any shape, so the shape doesn't have to compromise very much, but perhaps the thickness does. And if it's a battle between the fuel and the passengers as to who gets to sit in the main part of the aircraft, I think the passengers win.
Isn't that interesting? Well, going back to your object, if you're testing that sort of fairly simple shape, long rectangular one, what about testing individual feathers? Has that occurred to you?
It has occurred to us. It occurred to us after a recent paper in Nature describing how hummingbird feathers vibrate at acoustic frequencies that are designed to attract mates in courtship rituals. And at the same time, it just so happens that we're doing work on buzzing sound waves at airfoils in the wind tunnel and changing their aerodynamic properties through doing that. And we thought, well, I wonder if the hummingbirds are doing something clever here also, as well as showing off to their mates. And so a bunch of undergraduate students have been going around collecting feathers on campus, and we're going to try and measure their properties, because surprisingly enough, very little is known about a simple thing like a feather.
It's because here in Los Angeles you've got plenty of hummingbirds around, haven't you?
Yeah, one of the best things about coming to the Americas is finding hummingbirds.
And their tiny feathers are nonetheless big enough to be tested in the wind tunnel?
I'll test any old feather right now, so pigeon, crow, you name it.
What is there left to know about how birds fly?
Well, how about how they do it? There's many things that are unknown, and we can argue ourselves to the point of almost extinction about exactly how it is that birds fly. That has a particular resonance these days because many of us are interested in making artificial flying devices of about that size. And so what used to be a rather abstruse area of bickering academics is now full of bickering academics and engineers who want to know how to make a practical device at that scale. Turns out we don't know. It turns out that the aerodynamics are complicated, and it turns out that we have to change some of the things that we're used to doing.
How do you find out?
You measure. Build, measure, test. Many of these things we don't quite know how to compute yet.
What are the difficulties of putting a bird's wing in a wind tunnel to do just that?
Well, the trouble is, with something like a bird's wing, you have to take what nature has given you, and if you get a certain result, you don't know what it is that caused that result. Was it the shape of the wing, the flexibility of the wing? It can be quite hard to make general principles from that specific example.
So if you're testing the wing itself, do you take it off the bird? Presumably it's not a live bird in the wind tunnel being blasted. So what happens?
Yes, the bird is pre-dead. So many people have measured the aerodynamic properties of bird wings in wind tunnels. It's a fantastically hard thing to do because the properties of a dead, preserved bird wing are importantly different from a live birdwing, most particularly in the way that the flexibility of the wing can adapt to the airflow. And so there are many quite well-known results with completely absurd numbers for dead bird wings that are almost impossible to reconcile.
So what's the difference between a live bird wing and one that's preserved and you're putting in the wind tunnel?
The live bird wing can interact with the airflow. So there's an interplay between the tension put on the wing support system by the bird and pulling on its muscles and tendons, and the aerodynamic forces which are pulling the wing about in a different way. And so the bird, to the extent that it has control, sets the position and orientation of the wing so it's working okay. So there's a feedback that goes on here that's entirely absent whenever you take a fixed model.
Presumably the dead bird wing's been preserved or something.
Yes, sprayed with hairspray or nail varnish or something like that to make it stiff and not smelly.
So how are you going to get around that problem if you still want a live, responsive bird wing? You'll never get one, will you?
No, you'll never get one. I think the thing to do is to train a bird to glide in a wind tunnel. And I've got a collaboration with a group of people in Lund University in Sweden. And they're extremely good at training birds and bats to fly in wind tunnels. And I hope that one day we can do an accurate enough experiment so that we can get a bird to glide in the wind tunnel and behave itself and stay in the right place and do the right things so that we can, at the same time, measure the three-dimensional shape of the wing as it's being held by the live bird in the wind tunnel. And then we might be able to say something.
And Geoffrey Spedding tells me that one bird that they could well use in the tunnel is a jackdaw. He's Professor of Aerospace and Mechanical Engineering at the University of Southern California.